This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He's also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, which has jurisdiction over the energy debate, as well as the Democratic priority of cap and trade in that reform effort. We want to get his thoughts today on President Obama declaring more areas off our coast, particularly the Atlantic, the Gulf Coast, and Alaska, for offshore energy exploration. And Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
A lot of different analyses on what exactly this announcement means. Some are saying that it's a good start, that the president maybe is trying to find some middle ground. Others say if you look at the fine print, he's actually reducing the area for exploration. What's the reality as you see it?
Well, I think the deeper you look at this, the more anyone with a fair mind would be swayed toward the second view. Look, I'm for opening up whatever we can. I'm for making any progress we can as a start. But I'm concerned that this is really a cover for a lot of other activity by the administration that is anti-oil and gas production. And I think, again, when you look at the fine print, when you look at what they're not opening up, when you look at their tax proposals, which would significantly increase taxes on domestic oil and gas production, and their EPA regulatory proposals, it's still very negative. So we'll see how this develops.
We saw a story just a number of weeks ago. It was in the second week of March, where it was reported that the Interior Secretary basically announced that no more leases were going to be extended for offshore exploration for the rest of what is either the president's term or his first term in office. Is that now reversed by this decision, or is it really going to be down to the fact that, yes, you can, you can explore, we're just not going to give you any leases?
Well, Greg, that's a great point. That's where the rubber hits the road, and that's where the devil is in the details. I believe, and I'm still digesting some of these details, but I believe they're opening up some very limited areas in theory, but they're not giving out new leases, like you say. So it's sort of taking back with the left hand what the right hand has extended. And I use that analogy consciously because I think that's some of the game they're playing.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And Senator, it was brought up by one of our guests in the wake of this announcement that this area was already open because Congress let its moratorium on offshore drilling expire in 2008. President Bush, towards the very end of his administration, let it expire, so it was always there. So the president yesterday didn't do a whole lot to change the current reality. What happened between the time that the Republicans had control of Congress and the White House? Why do you think there wasn't a more concerted effort to open this area up?
Well, two things happened. Number one, the price at the pump fell from $4 a gallon, which is the peak it hit, if you remember, in the summer of 2008. That had a dramatic effect that caused people to really stand and notice and demand that we drill here and drill now, if you remember those petitions. That had a major effect almost immediately on Congress in late 2008. So that's one thing that happened. Of course, the second big thing that happened was the election of 2008, bringing in President Obama and a very even more liberal Congress. So between then and now, those are the two big things that have happened. And you're right, this is actually retrenchment, closing off many areas from the policy we achieved in mid to late 2008 of Congress finally ending the congressional moratorium on offshore production and the administration ending the administrative moratorium.
Senator, we know that the president on Wednesday said that this was a short-term thing he's likely to allow. He's still moving forward full steam as he sees it on renewable energies, green technologies, green jobs as a way of creating more employment in our society. We're also hearing that Senator Kerry, who's kind of the point man on this, as you know, is in favor of this. So what can we expect in terms of a push for the comprehensive strategy from the Democratic perspective in the weeks ahead here?
Well, I think overall their general energy direction is going to be the same. And I think the American people get it and understand that they're wrong. It's not either or, it's all of the above. Sure, we need to do the new green, renewable R&D stuff. We also need to push forward with existing resources we have as aggressively as possible well beyond this announcement. We need to open it all up and push forward very, very aggressively. I have a bill with many other Republicans that does that. It's called the No-Cost Stimulus Act because it would develop great American jobs based in the energy sector at no additional cost to the U.S. taxpayer. So this announcement is a tiny move forward in the right direction, but we need to go forward much more full bore.
Do you think, Senator, that some moderate Democrats or moderate Republicans are likely to be swayed to supporting cap and trade as it currently exists based on this president's gesture on the offshore issue?
I don't. I'm sure that's in part what the gesture is about. But I believe in the Senate we're still well short of 60 votes, thank goodness, for any sort of significant cap and tax legislation. I don't see this announcement as changing that.
Senator, obviously the Congress has just gone through a major fight over health care. Do you expect any remnants from that to carry over to this debate? Is there a galvanizing of the attitude on fighting the rest of this agenda? How would you describe the mood within the conference right now?
Well, I think the president has polarized the Congress and U.S. politics to an unprecedented level, and I do think that's the context in which he's putting out this this sign that's slightly toward the middle, and he's trying to sort of recreate a better environment in Congress. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think people are going to see through that, so I really don't think that's going to fundamentally change the nature of the cap and tax or related energy debates.
You're up for re-election this year. To what extent are you making repeal of the health care bill an issue, and what are you saying to your constituents about the energy issue?
Well, I dropped a full repeal Obamacare bill the day after Obamacare passed the U.S. House of Representatives. The following week, I brought the same amendment to the Senate floor and helped lead the fight there. And it's a very clear point of distinction between me and my Democratic opponent who opposes the repeal of Obamacare. So that's clearly a key point of the debate in Louisiana.
We'll keep following that race as well as all the key debates up on the Hill. Senator, thank you very much for your time today.